Well, this morning we are going to be talking about being filled with spiritual power. So I just want to open up in a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for this word that you've given to me, Father, and I pray that I give it with a full understanding of how you want me to provide it, Father. And Lord God, I ask that you salt it with an anointing, Father, that is going to take residence in each and every one of our hearts, Father, and it's going to give us a better understanding of how we could be overcomers in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Being filled with spiritual power. How many of you know that many a time, and we didn't do it this morning, but we sing a lot of songs about power. We love to sing songs about power. We sing that song, "There is power, power." What do we call it? Wonder-working power. Where's it found? In the blood, right. Then we sing another song that I know you're thrilled by. It's "There is power in the name of Jesus." What's it for? To break every chain. Now there's a tag in the middle of that song that says, "There's an army rising up." And when we sing that part, I see people have chills. They have tears. They are absolutely in gusto. They're singing that song with everything in their heart. Amen? But there's also a song. It's an older song that we sing at times. And it's a song that simply says, "More love, more power, more of you in my life." Sing it with me. More love, more power, more of you in my life. Remember those words, because I'm going to use that song as the very catalyst for foundation to establish what I'm going to present to you here this morning. Because I want you to know that even though there are many, many people in many, many churches all over the world that sing songs about the deposit of God's power in our life, but yet while people sing songs of power, they walk a powerless life. And it's very noticeable. Now, why are they powerless? Because they don't know Him. When I talk about knowing God, I'm not talking about how many verses have you memorized or how many times have you come to church. When I'm talking about knowing God, I'm talking about how many times have you had an intimate, intricate conversation with God throughout the week? How often have you prayed to God on your own? Let me ask you this. When's the last time you sensed the presence of God in your life? Or better yet, when's the last time God sensed your presence? Because you are there and you are devoted to Him. Amen? I want you to know that God is demanding of us as His children. He wants an authentic relationship with us. He wants us to have the same kind of relationship with Him that we have with our dear loved ones of our family. Those individuals that you dote over, you hug, you kiss, you embrace, you can't be without them around you. And if they're apart from you, you want to be on the phone, you want to communicate with them. That's the kind of relationship that God is requesting for you and for me, that we would have that kind of intimate relationship of communication with Him. And when you have that kind of intimacy with God, there's a product that comes out of it, and that product is nothing less than power from heaven. Amen? So if you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13, that power in the church of Ephesus was missing. Paul had come and he had written to the church of Ephesus, and he recognized that they were about to give up on God. They had no more fuel in the tank. So he turns around and he pleads with them in verse 13, and he says, "Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." To lose heart means to be disappointed, to be discouraged. It means that you want to quit. You want to give up, you want to throw in the towel, because you just don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. Anybody there? Well, that's what Paul's talking about, and that's what's going on with many of the saints in the church of Ephesus. They're ready to throw in the towel. So Paul turns around in verse 14. He said, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." When your circumstance has reached an all-time low, Paul is saying, I know the propensity of human beings. We can go from an ultimate high, and then all of a sudden we can hit an ultimate low. And when your circumstance is so devastating that you don't know how to fix it, what to do, that's when you need to get on your knees and get low with God. You need to let God know, I'm totally dependent on you, Lord, because I can't seem to fix it on my own. Amen? So Paul goes on in verse 15, and he says, "For let me repeat verse 14 to make sense of it. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom every member of the whole family in heaven and earth derives their name." Church, there is only one Father. He is our Abba Father in heaven. And Jesus alluded to him by saying, when you pray to him, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." He is holy, holy, holy. There is no other Father but our Heavenly Father. But there are many members of God's family. When Paul was talking about the family, he was talking about the saints of God. Amen? He was talking about individuals in the church of Ephesus, as well as you and I. And he was saying to us that we, when you come to accept Jesus Christ, you have a whole new derivative. You have a name that you don't even know, but it's the name that God has given to you that one day you will recognize and discover what it is. The Bible says so in the book of Revelation. There's a new name written on your heart. It has been written by the pen of the blood-stained ink of Calvary. Amen? So recognize that when you are on the earth, everybody knows you. You are of the Reber family, of the Fidel family, of the Fleischman family. And by the way, thank God, you know, he's not Margarine. But nonetheless, you are of the various families that we can get recognition of each other. But when you come to accept Jesus Christ, the Bible says you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. All things become anew, and therefore you also have a new name. Now, with that said, a lot of people say, well, new name or not, I go through some heavy-duty, devastating things. And it seems like even though I'm a child of God and he said he'll never leave me nor forsake me, I feel like he's forsaken me. He's nowhere to be found. But I want you to know that the eyes of the Lord are on the sparrow. You are the apple of his eye. You are the one that he watches over you. He is absolutely concerned about you. He knows what you're going through. He knows your problems. He knows the heatness of the difficulty. He knows how struggling it is. And he wants to take care of you. Well, this is what Paul has faced when he's come to the church of Ephesus. And he's writing to them because they are at an all-time low. They're ready to quit. They're ready to give up on God because it seems like nothing's working. So Paul comes along and Paul begins to give one of the greatest prayers you will ever find written and spoken in the New Testament. Here he says, these words in verse 16, that he said, "I pray that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man." He's saying, I see your spiritual fuel level, and I know why you're ready to throw in the towel. I know why you're ready to quit, because your fuel level, on a spiritual sense, is bone dry empty. That's why you're ready to. That's why you're disappointed, you're discouraged, because you're seeing things through fleshly eyes. I'm praying that God will give you a booster shot and he will re-inflame you with spiritual power and he will give it to you. But where does he say you are to receive it? Within, inside you, in the inner man. Paul is not saying to them, and he's not saying to us, well, just wait because there's going to be a fireball from heaven that's going to come down and you're going to see it's going to be filled with power. Just go and get your fill. And Paul didn't also say, I'm going to be like Benny Hinn. I'm going to wave my hand and the entire church of Ephesus is going to fall out in the spirit. That's not what Paul said. Paul said, I'm praying that God will give you a fuel of impacting power, an overwhelming amount of power. It's going to be established inside of you. And what's that power going to be for? That power is going to be there so that no matter what you're going through, it's not going to own you any longer. It's not going to own you. Because let me tell you something. You are going to go through things. You are going to go through trials. You are going to go through troubles. You are going to go through issues. You are going to go through disturbances of all kind of sort. And the truth of the matter is, what happens when we have a problem, when we have an issue, we turn around and we look at the issue, we look at the problem, and after a while, it owns us. because our concentration is on it. And especially as men, we got to fix it. I got to fix this thing for my family. So we put our money, our time, our energy, our strength into it. And the whole time while we're trying to fix it, we have our eyes off the things of God. And the more you have your eye, the longer you have your eyes off of God, the quicker you are going to be drained of any spiritual power that you already have been given by God. And so here you are, you're trying to fix this, you're trying to fix that. Before you know it, that's all you're talking about. That's all you're thinking about. That's all your concentration is on, is the problem. But when you are filled with the heavenly power from Almighty God, and now all of a sudden you have a whole different attitude of mind, heart, and spirit, you will come to realize that if God chooses not to fix it or to fix it, it doesn't matter, because it won't own you. You will be able to now keep your eyes fixed on the things of God. You will have a hunger to read more of the Word of God. You will get on your knees and you will be praying to God. You will have a whole different attitude about you. And it's not by your might nor by your power, but it's by the spiritual power of what God has provided to you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But what I find, and I believe that there's nothing worse than to see somebody go through life, somebody who's a Christian, and they go through life every day, day after day. They go through the mundane, you know, the rigorous normalcies of having to go to work day after day. And after they go to work, they come home and they have the responsibility of being a parent and being a spouse. And externally, you see, they're applying themselves, they're doing this, they're doing that. But down deep inside of them, they are empty. And they want to do so much more, but they know that they can't, and they're struggling. Why are they struggling? Because, see, externally, they look like they have it all together. We have people that walk in this church. And when they walk in this church, they have a smile on their face. They have a dance in their step. They look like they have it all together. Amen? And when we look at them, I think, man, they're better off with God than I am. But the truth of the matter is, it's a facade. All it is a facade. And they don't want you to know the problems and the struggles they're going through. Well, here the Bible tells us in Hebrews 10:25, don't forsake the assembling of yourself. And it's for one reason, for the edification, the uplifting, the encouragement, and praying one for another. Well, how can I pray for you if I think you have it all together and I need you to pray for me? But if we're not praying for one another, there's no prayer of agreement. Therefore, there's no destruction of the enemy's hand upon you. And so people come in and they have that kind of an attitude. And the people that go through the mundane of life, they externally, they seem to have it all together. But down deep, internally, they're ready to quit. They have a low attitude in their heart toward God. They're ready to throw in the towel. They're ready to give up on church. They're ready to give up on God. They're ready to give up on prayer. They're ready to just let it all go. And they want to leave this place because God's not working in my life. Well, the reason is because spiritually, you are dead. You are dead. God had equipped you. God had given you a life. God has stirred you. He had given you His Son. You've accepted Jesus. But now you've come to a place where spiritually you're dead. It's like having a cell phone. You have a brand new cell phone. How much does a cell phone cost nowadays? $1,000? I'll be walking. I'll never talk to anybody. How much is an average cell phone? $300-$400? Am I right? That cell phone, I mean, I used to have the flip phone. We talked about it. That's all I want. I want the flip phone. Big numbers. I can see the numbers because my eyes are going bad. See the numbers. You call me. I'm not going to butt dial you by accident. I open it up. I listen to what you have to say. I close it. There's no internet function. There's no interruption of any sort. I love it. Not my wife. She said, no, you have to be updated. You're getting to be an old man. She buys me this monster of a phone. I put it in my back pocket. I'm riding the lawnmower. It bounces out. It goes on the ground. And I hear it ringing. Thank God I didn't run it over. But I'm constantly losing it because I can't figure out where to put it. My pockets aren't deep enough for it. But it has all these functions. I mean, it'll keep you going 24/7. It has so many functions, thousands and thousands of functions. You can not only use it to call people, you can use it as a radio, as a television. You can hear the news all over the world. You know the preview of things yet to come in the movie theater. You also can use it for listening to the weather report. I mean, that's just a small token of the things that it can do. And there's tens of thousands of apps that you can also get, free apps. So, I mean, you could be there and never live again and see anybody because everything's on the phone, right? And that phone is so precious and so unbelievable in its capability. But if you don't plug it in, and allow the energy to be stored in its battery, you go to use it, push the button, it's not going to work. You may as well throw it out. You may as well give up on it. Amen? You may as well say, this is of no value. But I want you to know that unless you plug it in, that cell phone is dead. And that's what's going on with Christians. Christians have all the capability. God has given them everything that they need. But because they don't plug into the heavenly resource, because they don't allow for Jesus Christ to come in and fill them with power, they are externally, they look like they have it all together. Externally, they're going through all the motions. But internally, inside, they are dead. And so Paul says this in verse 17. He said, I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. So Paul is saying this. Here it is. He said, I'm praying that you will be strengthened in the inner man. But here's how you obtain it. That you allow for Christ to dwell in your hearts by faith. Amen? It's a lot deeper than what that says to you right now. First of all, Paul said to the church of Ephesus, he called them saints. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, he said to the saints of the church of Ephesus. In other words, they were saved. They were saved, but yet they were ready to throw in the towel. They were saved, they were on their way to heaven. So if they threw in the towel, does that mean they're going to go to hell? No. They just aren't going to receive the full benefit package of being one that walks in spiritual power and not human power. Amen? So you come to find that he's saying to the church of Ephesus, you are saved individuals on your way to heaven, but you're low in heart. You're ready to give up on God. He said, but I want you to know, in order for you to have the impact of spiritual power placed inside your inner man, it can only come through the convenience of you allowing for Christ to dwell in your heart by faith. And the word dwell is a very powerful word. In the Greek, it means make yourself at home. Make yourself at home. How many of you have welcome mats out in front of your house? A lot of you don't have them. We put welcome mats out in front of our house because we want our neighbors and our friends and our family to not think that we are, you know, we're kind of isolated and we're snobbish. We don't want to be around people. So we want them to know that you're welcome in our home. And if somebody calls you, a friend, a family, whomever, and they call and they make arrangements and say, we'd like to come and visit you. If everything's good with you, your spouse, or you yourself alone, you turn around and you accept the invitation. You know exactly when they're going to come, what day they're going to come, so you make all the necessary preparation. And then when they show up at the time that they said they're going to be there, you greet them at the door. And when you greet them at the door, what do you say? Welcome. Make yourself at home, right? We give them that constant, ever-going statement. That convenient, nice statement, make yourself at home. What we do, we greet them with a lie. You greet them with a lie. You don't want them to make themselves at home. You want them to make themselves at the room that I give you while you're here and the restroom that I provide you. But I don't want you to make yourself at home. But we tell them, make yourself at home. Make yourself at home. But we don't really mean that. Because you don't want them to go laying in your bed. You don't want them to go in your closet. You don't want them to go into the garage and mess with your car and stuff. You don't want them to go in your refrigerator and make themselves at home and eat your food that you may not want them to eat. You don't really mean that when you say make yourself at home. You're actually saying make yourself at the room that I give you and the restroom that I provide you. Come with me. Amen? So we're lying to them. We don't want them to make themselves at home because we don't want them to see the other rooms, because those other rooms are filled with all the filth and debris of how we had to clean that room out and had to clean that restroom out, because we want them to believe we are so pristine that our whole house is just as clean as that room we're going to give you and that restroom that we're going to provide you. Amen? Well, I want you to know that that's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying the reason why you are low in spiritual power is because that's how you treat Jesus Christ. You don't give him privilege to make himself at home in every compartment of your life. You only allow for him to come in those areas that you allow him to come in. You don't want him to go into the garage of your life because that's where all the toys are at. That's where all the things are at that take preemptive ability over you going to church on a Sunday. You don't want him to see that you own a boat, you own all kind of stuff, and you never come to church because you're playing with all the toys. You don't want him to go into the library of your life. That's the mind. That's where all the filth is stored. That's where all the R-rated information that you've been watching on TV is captured in the fibers of your mind, and all the filthy language that you don't want anybody to know that goes and starts to crumble out of your mouth. You don't want anybody to know that. So you don't want Christ to go into the library of your mind. And you don't want him to go into the living room of your heart, because the living room is where you hang out with unsaved friends and loved ones. And as they're swearing and as they're saying filthy, evil things and watching dirty pictures, you're right there with them because you are kind of bleeding in and becoming what they are. You don't want Christ to do that. But unless you give him full access into your life, he will not address what he knows he needs to address in your life. He is the Lord of your life. It's called the Lordship of Christ. He owns you. He created you. He owns you. He has power. He has the authority and the authorization over your life. And if you will give him full access into your life, when you say to him, make yourself at home, and you really mean it, and you allow for him to come into every fiber of your existence, then you're going to find that there's going to be full power. The throttle is going to go to the full throttle. If you have a fullness of Christ, you will have the fullness of power. If you have the limited access of Christ because you're limiting him to how much of him you allow in your life, there will be limited power. With limited power, you will find that your heart will be low, and therefore you are ready to throw in the towel. You are ready to give up on God. You are ready to go through religious action, make everybody think everything is hunky-dory with you, but yet you don't pray to him, you don't serve him, you don't have relationship with him. All it is religious garb. That's all it is. And that's not going to get you to heaven. And it's not going to gain any victory for you on earth. So that's why Paul turns around and says this in verse 18. He said, and we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Here's what he's saying. If you will allow for Jesus Christ to come in and have full access, and you allow for him to make himself completely at home in every facet of your life, what he's going to do, he's going to get into every chamber of your life, and he's going to start removing things that do not bring glory to God. He's going to get into your mind, and he's going to eliminate all that filthiness and all the addictive nature that's trying to keep you bridled. He's going to remove all those things. He's going to remove the vile conversation from your tongue. He's going to remove that you're not cursing and using foul words anymore. He's going to start getting to the place where he's going to get you where you're walking a righteous walk, and you're not walking a walk where you are sort of blending in with society, that you will be peculiar when he's all done. And because he's eliminating this and eliminating that and eliminating this, because you allow him to, then what he does, there's all these holes inside of you because he's taken all these things out that shouldn't have been there in the first place, He fills those holes with more of himself. And as he fills those holes with more of himself, you will have now the fullness of God, which means now you will be with full throttle of power of what God intended for you. Amen? Then you will walk by power. Hallelujah. And so this is kind of mind-blowing. And in verse 20, and he ends up the prayer with verse 20. And I know it's a prayer that everybody knows. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. When we say that verse, people say it with a shout. People dance. I was in a church one time, I got to tell you. It was an all-black church in Cleveland, Ohio. I was thirsty as could be. There was probably about 800, 900 people. And I saw the water pitcher and I saw the glass. But I couldn't get to it because they already introduced me and people were starting to settle down. You know what I did? I turned around and I used that verse. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly. I didn't even get the words all out. They were jumping. They were dancing. They were singing. I went over and I poured my water. You gotta know how to play it. But that when people hear that verse, they have a shout. They have a shout. But that verse is not meant for everybody. That verse was given in this prayer that Paul gave to the Ephesian church that were ready to throw in the towel. People that were discouraged. Discouraged. And so if there's anybody here that's discouraged, this verse is for you. It's for you. And he said, now to him. He's looking upward. He says, look unto God. Keep your eyes focused on the God because he is able. Unto God who is able. How many of you know that God is well able? He's able to do greater things than you can even imagine. Let me give you just a little bit of a quick reference on the ability of God. If you look and remember in Daniel chapter, you don't have to turn here. You can put it up here. Daniel chapter 3, you had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You had Nebuchadnezzar. He built an altar in his own image. He said, when you hear the music, you better bow. And everybody in that whole area, they had to bow. These three boys weren't about to bow. And they were found out that they weren't going to bow. They were brought before Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar said, you either bow or you burn. And he turned around in verse 15 and he said, and let me ask you this. And who is the God that's going to save you from my hand? And they turned around and they said, Nebi, you don't even have to ask that question, because they go on and they say, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, you're going to burn us. Our God whom we serve is well able. Everybody say, he is able. He is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand. You may have the fire, you may have the furnace, you may have the determination, but we have our God. If you are going through a fiery situation right now, I want you to know God is able. God is able. You put it in his hands. Amen. Also in Daniel chapter 6, you had Daniel himself. Daniel was there, and he was under the authority of that of King Darius. And all the people in the land hated Daniel because King Darius found favor in Daniel. So they kind of conned King Darius to set up a decree that for 30 days, all the people of the land had to worship none other than the gods of the Medes and the Persians. And if anybody was found to worship any other god, they would be thrown in the lion's den. Well, you know the story. Daniel was found with his gate, with his windows open, bowed to the eastern gate of his bedroom. He was bowing and worshiping the God of all heaven and earth. And when those perpetrators that really set up King Darius saw him, they brought Daniel to King Darius. They said, he offended your rule, offended your law. You need to kill him. Darius, even though he loved Daniel, he had no say. He had to throw Daniel in the lion's den. But while Daniel was in the lion's den, King Darius stayed up and he fasted and he prayed all night long for Daniel. And it says here in verse 20, the next morning, when King Darius came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. He said, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lion's den? Daniel said, he's able. My God sent his angels and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me. Sometimes God delivers you from, sometimes God delivers you through, and sometimes God just joins you. You don't know how he's going to do it, but he will do it. Amen. And you come to find if you have a loved one and you say, well, man, they're never going to get saved. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those in the guttermost. Amen. Those who seem so far away. So don't stop praying for them, because as you pray for them, God is able to save them. If you are in absolute need and you are desperate, here it is, 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. God is not only able to meet your every need, he's able to meet it and give you leftovers. Can you say amen? And so that, with all that said, and all those references, Paul ends his prayer again with verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and or think. Now again, this prayer is not for everyone in the body of Christ. It's for those who are losing heart. It's for those who are losing heart. And here's why. We have a tendency to pray what I call safe prayers. We pray over our food. How many of you pray over your food? We pray that God, we pray a bedtime prayer. We pray, Lord, wake me up in the morning. Well, if you want to get to heaven, why do you pray that? To live as Christ, to die as gain. Take me when you want me. Amen? There's no fear. But we have all these safe prayers. Oh, Lord, watch over my children. Oh, Lord, you know, give me the air, the oxygen that I need so that I can continue. Those are safe prayers. But that's not what Paul was talking about. Paul wasn't talking about those kind of prayers for somebody that's desperate, somebody that's discouraged, somebody that's downcast. That's not what he's praying for here. He's saying, no, those are regular prayers. Those are prayers. God's going to surely show up if he knows you're still going to be alive. He's going to give you oxygen in your lungs. He's going to take care of you. He's going to put food on your table. But he wants to do exceedingly, abundantly, far above all that you could ever ask and imagine. In other words, while you are there boo-hooing over a situation, he will come from left field and all of a sudden bless you where you're startled with eyes wide open and say, how did that happen? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You go and you see your checkbook. It's in the red. How am I going to pay my bills? You wake up the next morning and all of a sudden you got $300 or $400 extra dollars in the checkbook. Why? Because God did it. You have a tumor in your body. The doctor says you don't have much time to live. And then months down the road, they turn around and say, we want to take a progress report. We want to see where you're at. They take the MRI. They can't find the tumor. Why? Because God does exceedingly abundantly, far above all that you could ever ask and imagine. Why? Because God wants you to know, I'm here. I saw your struggle. I saw your problem. And I am going to strengthen you. If you will allow my son to come into your life, I am going to turn it around, because I get all the credit. No one's going to get the credit of what I can do. Amen. And finally, there's a condition. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. The frontal part of that scripture, we shout it out. We dance. We get excited. The back part of that scripture, not so much. We say it like this. Our God can do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask and or think, according to the power that works within us. According to the power that works within us. And again, this is not for everyone, because see, God looks inwardly. And when he sees how much power you have in you, it will determine what he can do externally. You listen to what I'm saying? How much power you have in you, God will then determine how much can I do for you externally. But if you haven't allowed for Jesus Christ to be everything in your life, to welcome him and make himself completely at home in your life, and there's limited power, there's going to be limited activity. God only moves according to the power that is already placed inside of you. Placed inside of you. So if you have limited power because you're playing with Christ and you do not allow for him to have full access to every portion of your life, if there's limited power, then when you have a need and God can't do much for you because He only moves according to the power that you allow to be stored inside of you, then you've got to piggyback off of somebody else who has a greater relationship with Christ. That's why you have so many people paying the money and they're calling Pat Robertson. They're calling Smith, they were calling Smith Wigglesworth in his day. And they were calling Catherine Coleman in her day. And they're still calling Rod Parsley. They're calling Benny Hinn because they think they have more power. They have a better connection than I do. No. The whole reality is you're trying to piggyback and get your problem resolved off of somebody else's power source that they have only because they're spending more closer relationship of time with the Father than you are willing. But when you give Jesus full access, there is full power. And when the Father sees the fullness of the power that is inside of you, that will be the relegation of how much He will be able to do externally. So here it is. If you're going to receive the benefit that you want, that you're not ready to throw in the towel, not wanting to quit, not wanting to give up, no matter what you're going through, if you will allow for Jesus to come in and tell Him, make yourself at home, take every part of my existence, and I give you full rank and reign to come in and do what's necessary to do some house cleaning. When you do that, the fullness of God will come in you as He is casting this out and casting that out. And you will begin to see that things will be totally different before your eyes. You will have power. And that power is not a dormant power. That power will rise to the forefront every time another circumstance comes, every time another situation arises. That power will arise to usurp whatever the devil's trying to throw your way. Amen? And then what God will do, God, because He sees the amount of power that's inside of you, He will absolutely destroy the powers of Satan, and He will bless your socks off. He will blow your mind, and He will begin to do exceedingly abundantly, far above all that you could ever ask and imagine. Why? Because He wants you to know the depth, the height, and the width of the love that He has for you. Can you say amen? That's the God that we serve. That's the God, and that's why you find that so many people that are just going through the motions, religious motions, sitting in dead churches, not doing anything other than going to church on a Sunday, that's why you find that they have a defeated attitude. They sing about songs of power, but there's no power in their life. That power comes by your open, complete relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you ready for that, church? Are you ready for that kind of power? I want you to stand to your feet.